We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 89 of Offsides with Mark Ryan. Man, this is totally weird, Lonzo. I got new headphones. This sounds totally different in my head. Are we on the air?
Do you sound better or worse?
I sound better. I can't figure it out. Great to be here with you guys. Episode number 89 of the show. And away we go. Tons of fun stuff to get to on the show today. I have a brand new show recommendation for you that is coming your way at 3 o'clock. Something that I'm very, very excited about is happening over the course of the show. And it may or may not be that Matt Hogan is joining us in the 120 segment to talk about any number of hot-button topics that we're going to kind of keep it fast-moving in his particular segment. Recruiting news going on, heartbreak for Clemson baseball going on, and so much more going on as well. But we check in with the person across the glass here, the figurative glass, and we say hello to Lonzo. Lonzo, what's going on this morning, bud?
I sometimes wish there really was glass over here. I do have something that you could help me with, or the listeners can help me with. I have 666 Twitter followers. Can someone either follow me or unfollow me so I no longer have 666
Twitter followers? Is that annoying you? Is that annoying you?
If you don't know what that means, then you got a problem.
What does it mean, Lonzo?
It's the number of the beast, Mark Ryan. And I don't.
What does that mean?
You don't know the.
What is the number of the beast?
You are
beast
hurting
mean?
Yourself, so you know nothing about revelations in the end of the world.
I don't know what the number of the beast means, no, sir. But I would very much like your explanation of this, please. Thank you.
Problem solved. Never mind.
Oh, somebody unfollowed you?
No, someone just followed me.
Matt Hogan just followed you. Okay, so tell me, well, you got to let the listeners know what the significance of 666 is. If I don't know it, I'm sure other people don't either.
See, this is hurting you because you've said you're a Christian, and if you are a Christian and you don't know what 666 is, then it's hurting you, and I'm trying to avoid you being hurt, so we should move on.
No, here's the thing. Like, you tell me I can't define fandom for certain people. I would tell you can't define Christianity for me, okay? I guarantee you there's people in this building who are Christian who I would say, what is 666, and they wouldn't know. So what is it?
I'd be willing to guarantee you that everyone, including people who aren't Christians, would know what it means. All 666 just has to do with Iron Maiden. That's it.
Okay, and that's all I'm going to get?
That's all you're going to get.
That's all I'm going to get out of this, right? That's all I'm going to get. Okay.
It's the mark of the beast, man. It's when the Antichrist comes and forces people to take the mark on their forehead or on their hand, and that's the only way they can get food and all this kind of stuff, and it's the end of the world.
Matt, would you go ahead and unfollow Lonzo so we can get right back to that uncomfortable place, please? I mean, that would be right in line with what I would like. Folks, lots of good stuff coming up on the program today, and lots of good debates that we are going to have between now and 4 p.m. I do want to open, though, with this. Game number two of the NBA Finals took place yesterday, and Golden State over Toronto, 109-104. If you listen to this show on a daily basis, you know that I shared with you on Thursday and Friday of last week that my belief was that if Toronto was going to win this series, they had to take not one, but both of the games in Toronto. And true to form, if I may, that atmosphere in Toronto is the best NBA atmosphere I have ever seen. As a matter of fact, that atmosphere would rank on par with Rupp Arena, with Cameron Indoor Stadium for big games at the collegiate level. I mean, that atmosphere in Toronto is absolutely insane. And last night, The home team let the home fans down, but this is fantastic for the NBA. And, you know, one thing I don't fully understand, and we're going to get into this a little bit more in the next segment, is why the ratings for this particular finals are down in the way they've been. And I don't particularly understand that because we're tired of seeing the same thing over and over again, are we? I mean, I get it. Golden State's the same team, but we're getting a different Golden State side. We've gotten, a Golden State roster with musical chairs at the most important position. At most important positions. They get DeMarcus Cousins back. They got him back for game one. He was a non-factor. Last night in game two, DeMarcus Cousins plays 28 minutes, gives the Warriors 11 points, 10 rebounds. They were down by 12 points when I started watching the game in the second quarter. They won an 18-0 run to begin the third quarter, and that, for all intents and purposes, was all she wrote. Series knotted at one. Toronto going back to Golden State, knotted at one. I don't believe the series is over by any stretch, but I did believe that in order for Toronto to have a legitimate shot to win this series, they needed to take both in Toronto and Lonzo. That clearly did not take place.
You know, here's the thing. I watched the entire game. The problem with Toronto was they couldn't hit shots at certain times. They had looks. The shots were good shots. They just didn't go in. So they should have and could have won that game, but they just didn't, because their shots weren't falling. And you see some nights in some arenas when a team just hits a dry spell, that they hit a dry spell that they can't come back from, and that's what happened.
And so the other thing to mention here that I think is interesting, even in the disappointment, 47 out of 50 states are rooting for Toronto in this series, by the way. Oregon, California, and Hawaii are the only states that are rooting for Golden State, which makes sense. We're all Raptors fans. We're all hoping that collectively we, the North, can triumph over the tyranny of the super team in the National Basketball Association. But I'm about to give you a piece of good news here, all right? Because what I believe here is that Golden State has proven themselves moving forward to be very, very beatable. And I think, in addition, what we're seeing now, even if Klay Thompson comes back this summer, even if Draymond Green comes back next summer, I believe what we're seeing is at the highest level of NBA basketball, the big three of Golden State, the big three that's been the core of that particular team, they're beatable. For once, they're beatable. And I didn't feel they were beatable going into the finals, but I feel like Toronto has really shown me something. Up at halftime against the Golden State Warriors, up by 12 in the second quarter, really kind of controlled game one from beginning to end. And I think, you know, when they get Boogie Cousins back, if and when they get Kevin Durant back, I think they'll be unbeatable this year. And just like I predicted, I think they're going to go on and win the title this year. But provided that DeMarcus Cousins leaves, and he will, because Golden State can only pay him $5 million, and he's worth a lot more than that on the open market. He'll get $15, $17 million a year from somebody. Nobody's going to accept a 300% pay cut 2 years in a row. The big question now is Kevin Durant. And, you know, you talk to people in and around the industry, and what you're hearing is that whereas about 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was a shoe-in that Kevin Durant was going to leave, that now the injury has made him rethink things, which is terrifying for the rest of the NBA. You see, if you're Kevin Durant and you're on the wrong side of 30 years of age now, you're looking at the situation, you're looking at the lay of the land in the NBA, and you're asking yourself, man, if I'm the man in New York on a bad team, can I put that team on my shoulders, or better yet, on my left leg, on my left calf, for 82 games a year? Am I able to do that? Or do I not want to put that pressure on myself? Am I okay with just being one of the guys? Because in the end, folks, that's what it comes down to for Kevin Durant. How many of us in life make decisions based on ego, right? Based on our own self-worth, our own self-esteem, so on and so forth. You know, I've always firmly believed that with every bad thing that happens to you in life, there's an opportunity for you there. And when I lost my dream job hosting Afternoon Drive in Tampa, I didn't see that. I didn't see that there was a shining light there, so to speak, immediately after that took place. As a matter of fact, I went through kind of a state of depression because I realized that much of what I knew and thought of myself, much of my own self-esteem, was being the voice of the number one sports radio show in Tampa, Florida. And when that was taken away from me, when I was no longer at all the it parties in town, and when I was no longer that voice of the top show, suddenly my confidence began to be a little bit shaken. The opportunity there was it showed me, it taught me that my self-worth should never be dependent upon the position that I hold. My self-worth should be dependent upon what I do for others, the position I hold within my family, and the position that I hold, in my opinion, with God, even if I don't know what 666 means, right? So that's how it should be. That's how my value should be determined. As it pertains to Kevin Durant, what's important to him from an ego standpoint? Because he could very clearly make an ego mistake here. He could say, you know what? I'm not content with my legacy being I was one of the guys, or I ruined the NBA. I'm not content with that. I will only be content if I take my own team to the promised land. And now it's time to do something different. This is an ego decision coming up for Kevin Durant. I pray that he makes the wrong one and leaves. I really, really do. And I think that is the wrong decision. And I pray that his ego gets in the way. And you know, if he leaves Golden State, it'll be an ego-based decision, because if it's about winning, he would never leave. They can go down as the best team that's ever laced them up in the NBA. I mean, if he stays, if winning is what matters, there is the answer. Greatest team of all time. Put them, they would slaughter Magic Showtime, 80s Celtics. How would they fare with the 60s and 70s Celtics? That would be a great debate. 95 Bulls. They're in that category right now. They surpass that category if Kevin Durant stays. So if it's about winning, he stays. If it's about ego and legacy, he goes. And I'm praying he makes a mistake, because without him, folks, we're seeing that with just those three guys, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry, the best of the best in the NBA can compete with them. The best of the best in the NBA can beat them. And I, for one, would love to be, I love the NBA. You know, for me, college football, number one, NFL, number two, college basketball, number three, NBA, number four. The NBA is clearly in my top five among favorite sports, right? Clearly. I'd love to be able to get back into having an NBA season feel like an unpredictable movie that you haven't seen before, as opposed to the one you've seen a million times. I'd love for that to happen. And I think if Kevin Durant leaves, we're going to get our NBA back. By the way, Golden State wins this series in six games. All right, coming up next, alongside Lonzo as executive producer, he's been a coordinating producer with a lot of great insight, ideas, and help on the show. Matt Hogan joins the show next to tell us what he's been burning about. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A check on the text line where you can get to us at 71307. Just start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Mark Ryan, I call a flag from Penny. Lonzo, don't worry about it, because she doesn't say what the flag is. We're not going to throw the flag if you don't just get to throw the flag and then not tell the offending team what the punishment was here, Penny. I would love to hear what my serious offense was today. Really. Okay, and then T-Bone says, what's your Twitter, Lonzo? I'll follow you, brother. I think I may already have you, though. Everyone's trying to get you off of that 666. I'm trying to get you back onto it. So if I understand this correctly, if I unfollow Lonzo right now, he'll be right back at 666.
It still says 666. I don't know. I said, Matt did something, but I don't know if he actually followed me or unfollowed me. It's just still stuck there. My Twitter's Lonzo on Word, by the way. That's Lonzo. There's no A in there. Some people are still confused about
that. So here's the instruction, ladies and gentlemen. Go to his page, see the number. Make sure that you leave him either by follow or unfollow right at 666, okay? That is the goal of what we're trying to establish here today. So we've got coordinating producer Matt Hogan sitting in on the show right now for this particular segment. And Matt and I kick around a lot of ideas on the show today. I gave Matt one idea. And, you know, like sometimes when you're doing a radio show, you don't yet know how an idea is going to play off. Was this a good idea, a bad idea? You try not to be too judgmental. And it was in a promo for today's show that I cut on Monday. And in talking to Matt about it, I think it's going to go really, really well. And it's coming up in the second hour. But there's a few things burning Matt up today. And one of them is that the SEC is going to start allowing alcohol in their stadiums. Now, I've heard both sides of this argument. Will Williams-Brice Stadium see more or less ejections allowing alcohol in? It seems like an obvious answer, but it may not be because of this theory, Matt. My theory is people get so blitzed outside the stadium because they know the buzz has to last them the entire game. If it's more of a one beer at a time type thing, you're maybe not taking eight shots before you walk into Williams-Brice Stadium. So at not all, but in many SEC stadiums next year, including Florida and South Carolina, alcohol will be available to the masses. You say?
I think it's a good thing. I think it's a win-win. I think the beer companies get more money. I think the universities get more money. And I think it's really more so for the students. I don't think you're going to have students drinking, you know, a fifth of Jack before they go into the game so they can stay drunk the whole time in the hot sun in Columbia. So I think having it where you can kind of pace yourself and be like, okay, in the third quarter, I can go have a beer. I don't need to chase this entire bottle of Jaeger just to actually feel the buzz throughout the game. I did a study on this when I was at the University of South Carolina, and one thing they found in West Virginia University was one of the first places.
Is West Virginia the most drunk state in the union?
It's got to be.
I think West Virginia, I mean, it's just, I don't know any better, but I've just heard and seen things that make me think it's the most drunk state in existence.
It very well could be, but
no, the people that live there have no idea what day it is any day of the week.
Well, they're either down in the mines or they're up on the surface drinking, so...
Boy, you are throwing out the stereotypes today, sir, aren't you?
Well, you're the one that started it with the drunk
okay.
thing.
Yeah.
But in 2010 to 2014, when they started doing this, they saw a sharp decline in alcohol-related deaths and hospital admissions based on alcohol. So I think it's a small study, but I think...
How is that?
Well, I just don't think people were drinking themselves stupid before the game. And so they were able to pace themselves and, like I said, not chug a half handle of liquor and throw up everywhere.
It seems like it would be a really bad idea, especially because for most students, right, you go through more than half of your undergraduate degree without being of legal drinking age, mm-hmm. more than half. You turn 21 at some time during your junior year. If you went to college at a normal time, you turn 21. For me, it was in the summer after my junior year, I turned 21. So, you know, to have more people with the fake IDs and more people trying to get alcohol, it seems like it would be a bad idea. But I'm just trying to get South Carolina off of this most ejections in college football list. I mean, at this point, I'm willing to do anything in my power to get them off that list, Matt.
They're not going to get off the list.
No?
they're a bunch of crazy fans who have a 6-6 football team annually. So you got to drink when you go to the games. That's half the fun.
Now, you've been to a game at Williams-Brice, right?
Yeah, many.
And Lonzo, you've been to a game at Williams-Brice, right?
I've been to a bunch, yes.
Okay. Can I get each of your theories as to why they'd lead the nation in ejections? Like, is there anything that's jumped out to you when you were there that seemed possibly a little bit more volatile than what you'd experienced at, let's say, the relative picnic that is going to a game at Clemson?
In my experience with all that, it's usually not, you know, if you go to a a certain game, you mostly see home fans attacking visiting fans. That's not really how it is at USC. At least in my experience, every fight I've ever seen or ejection, it's usually just USC fans arguing with other USC fans. I think they just like to have a good time and get drunk, and their team's usually losing. So I think they just kind of have a good time, and things get out of control.
So they're fighting amongst them each other.
But like it's
so. Is it about are we going to go 6-6 and somebody else is we're going to go 7-5?
I don't even know if
is that the start of the fight right there.
I don't even know if it's about football. I think they get drunk and argue, and it's hot in Columbia, man.
Lonzo, for your experience having been at Williams-Brice Stadium, what stands out to you? There's got to be something that's like, okay, I can see why we would lead the nation in ejections.
See, I'm going to have a boring take on this because I've never had nothing but great experiences there. I've never seen anyone ejected. I've never seen anyone around me, at least where we were sitting, that had too much alcohol. I've never seen any of that. I've always had a good time when I went. So, sorry.
You've experienced something, though, that would tell you that, okay, I could see that vibe would be there. Is it a confrontational vibe there?
No, it's not a confrontational vibe.
No,
I think they just get rowdy. I mean, maybe they bump into people when they're doing Sandstorm or something, and it pisses everybody off.
What's doing Sandstorm?
Have you ever been to game?
No.
Oh, dude, you got to go before the game. They play Sandstorm, and everybody in that stadium, they could be 0-12, and they're gonna go nuts. That place.
So it's like jump around at Wisconsin.
Basically, it's South Carolina's version of that.
Okay,
it's really cool. Actually,
learning new things about my new area. This is fantastic. A check on the text line, dude. You should know what 666 is. Shame, shame. I feel like I'm taking Cersei Lannister's walk of atonement here.
See, here's the thing. I was trying to get away from it because I don't
Listen,
want you
Lonzo,
to.
I don't care.
I'm being protective
no,
of you.
I appreciate it, but you just still wanted to go there. I'll take the lashings, man. It's okay.
Are you not just trying to mess with Lonzo? I feel like you know what that is. You're just trying to mess with Lonzo. Is that?
No, I didn't. I really don't know.
You didn't
what
know
this.
What that is?
No,
no
there
really.
Was a vacant look in his eyes.
That's every morning during our meeting.
Yeah, it was. It absolutely is. Absolutely is. Obnoxious redneck Gamecocks do not need more alcohol, says the text line. Another texter on the text line. So, there you go.
But Clemson fans can't say anything because they have a rule where they can leave at halftime and go to their car and drink and then come back into the game. So Clemson fans can't argue that South Carolina doesn't have that ability to leave at halftime to go to their car and drink. Clemson have been able to do that. You can just leave.
It is the strangest thing to me because, you know, my family comes up here and visits, Matt, and everybody says, Mark, I've never met more nice people in one place than we have in this area. I can't imagine that Columbia is a complete and total sea change in terms of people being nice and polite, a slightly different area two hours down the road in South Carolina. I can't imagine people there aren't also nice and polite, right?
They lead the nation
in ejections. Let's get to Trevor, who's up first. Trevor, thanks so much for the call. You're on with Matt, Mark, and Lonzo. Trevor, you're offsides. Go ahead.
Hey, y'all. So I think it's great that they've, I guess, finally turned the page on it, but there's a couple of things that I still kind of think are just glaring issues. Most stadiums, especially down in the South, like, you know, the fat cats up in the boxes can bring in liquor the day before. So if you drive past, you know, Williams-Brice or Death Valley the Friday before game day, you'll see the liquor trucks or the distributor trucks out there loading in stuff for the boxes. But honestly, I don't know if we'll see too much of a change in people drinking before games because tailgating is just part of, you know, the Southern of Southern traditions for game day. And it's kind of like what you see at movie theaters. Yeah, you can buy snacks inside the movie theater because the prices are so high. People bring their own snacks in anyway. They're going to bring them in their purses or their bags or in their boots. They're going to find a way to bring it in still because they don't want to pay $10 for a beer inside the stadium.
Are people able to successfully smuggle alcohol into Williams-Brice? Do they go through your purses and stuff? Purse in your case, Matt, do they do that after when you're going in?
Yeah, and they use metal detectors. Me and my buddies would use plastic flasks, and then when they'd wave you with the wand, they would just be plastic so they didn't detect. So, he's right. You can sneak in whatever you want.
Okay. Much.
Yeah, if you go to like the liquor store on Friday, you go pick you up a 10-pack of Fireball in the plastic little mini bottle. You stick them down in your boots, and even if they wand you, if your boots go off, oh, I have steel toe boots, and most security people are just going to wave you through. They're not going to know the difference. That's what I did when I went there.
Oh, he's given us
allegedly.
Allegedly, he did that. Yes, allegedly. And allegedly, at the University of Florida, I was stopped by a police officer having hunch punch at the age of 18, asked to see my ID. I've shared the story with you, Alonzo. I put down my cup, reached for my ID, and tore off into the crowd. The police officer tore off after me. I dove in the bushes, and he ran right by me down the street. I don't know what the statute of limitations on that either is, Trevor, but I hope, sir, that you and I are okay, Trevor. What do you think?
I hope so, too. I think we'll be fine. If they're looking for a Clemson fan in orange or a Florida fan in orange on game day, I think you're okay.
There you go. Thanks, bud. Appreciate the call. All right. USC women flip off opposing players for scoring. They're a miserable fan base, says a texter. Miserable fan base. Both of you are South Carolina homers. Speak up for yourselves here.
This is funny because half these people have never even been to a game, including the Clemson-Carolina game. They just feed into the I'm going to talk about my rival things. They have no idea what they're talking about.
Flip off opposing players for scoring? Is that true, Gamecocks fans? Do you flip off opposing players when they score a touchdown? Is that a common occurrence at Williams-Brice? Is that what leads to all the ejections? You know, it's like the how many licks to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop. That's the life mystery for me, is how people in such a polite state lead the nation in ejections. I don't get it. I don't get it.
And the Clemson women stick out their tongues, and they don't have any teeth, so they can just stay out.
Oh, listen, Alonzo. Listen to this. Listen to this. I mean, alienating our number one fan base in terms of number of fans. Alienating them, I tell you.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right, another text. Just a thought. Won't this affect Coke and Pepsi product sales?
I think it helps, right? Wouldn't you want to have a...
Well, I've never seen a Coke Budweiser flavor before. No. I don't know how it would help Coke and... Because you're settling for Coke. You're settling for Pepsi when you could be having a beer or a wine, right?
But they can make the Cokes cheaper. A $4 beer is better than an $8.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The other thing I want to get to you here, Matt, is this. No LeBron, big problem. Okay? Now, this you and Lonzo are either going to agree or come to blows on this particular topic right here, because Lonzo, you know, he's got the centaur of LeBron painted over his bed in his bedroom.
Pop-up books work. It's a poster that kind of like, yeah, it comes out.
There's a man crush, and then there's what Lonzo has for LeBron James, and LeBron is seeking a restraining order against men with long hair. So that's what's going on right now. But you have a take about LeBron and his absence in the NBA Finals and what it's doing to the Finals this year.
Well, yeah, I'm a big fan of what Toronto of the series we have right now, Toronto and Golden State. I would have preferred it a little bit more if it was Milwaukee, but you know we can't always have our cake and eat it too. But I everybody was really upset last year and the year before when it was Cleveland versus Golden State every single year, and everybody's we're tired of seeing this. We don't want to see this anymore. We need new teams, and then all of a sudden we get new teams, or at least one new team, and a new dynamic and a new story, and no one's watching. There's a 20% dip in between Game 2 this year and Game 2 last year. In terms of viewers. So everybody's complaining and getting on Twitter and talking about how they don't like Golden State versus Cleveland, Golden State versus LeBron. We're tired of it. We want something new. And then we get something new and nobody watches it. And I feel like I'm, if you're going to complain, you need to speak. You don't speak with your tweets. You speak with your viewership and you speak with your money. For example, I'm tired of seeing Marvel movies. I don't go to see them anymore. I don't pay to see them because, not because I hate them or they're all terrible. I just don't want them to continue. So even though I'm in the minority, the overwhelming minority, I have to vote with my
good
dollars.
Good for you. High
I have
five.
To vote. I'm not asking
I'm
for anything.
I'm tired of those Marvel movies, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's really working out for both of
no,
them.
No, yeah, it's not working, but at least I can say
what
that I'm...
What do you mean? We don't have to watch it. What do you mean it's not working out? We're in the minority?
Were you listening to his point?
Yeah.
They still make money, and they'll still keep making them, but I'm not going to pay to go see them because I speak with my money. Everybody speaks with their money. So if you're tired of LeBron versus Golden State, watch Toronto versus Golden State. It's new. It's different. And then you can actually have an opinion on the matter rather than just tweeting about it and then not following through with what you're saying.
I would argue that LeBron hasn't been the most interesting player in the NBA in 3, 4, 5 years.
Not since he was in Miami.
I mean, in terms of entertainment, in terms of who I want to see play, in terms of seeing something that you're not going to see on a basketball court, I would put Steph Curry ahead of that. I would put Giannis Antetokounmpo ahead of him. I mean, those are two players that do things that we've never seen on a basketball court before. At this stage in his career, what's really compelling about LeBron that he's an executive producer of bad TV shows? I mean, what's really compelling about him? Lonzo, I appreciate the silence from Lonzo as smoke is billowing out of his ears.
I'm good, man. Yeah. I'm good. You keep talking. He'll still keep making money, and he'll be back next year.
I mean, you could make an argument that LeBron even knows that, because the only time he stays relevant is when he goes back to Cleveland, or when he goes to Miami, or when he goes to Los Angeles. And if he makes the playoffs next year in Los Angeles, he'll be interesting for a month. But he'll be a seven seed at best. I mean, that team's miserable other than him.
I wouldn't have ventured a guess that that the NBA Finals would be 20% worse without LeBron. I wouldn't have ventured a guess that the NBA is a one-person league. But the numbers show not only that maybe it is a one-person league, but also we don't like the underdogs, really. We say we do. Mm-hmm. We say we love the Cinderellas in college basketball. But is that really possible when we don't watch the Cinderellas? The ratings say that we don't want to see UCF against Michigan State in the Elite Eight. The numbers say we don't. We want to see Duke versus Michigan State in the Elite Eight. So we all love that story, or we say we do, but then we tune it out. And the Toronto Raptors are the UCF of the NBA. We, the North, they're the underdog team from the underdog country. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest.
The most interesting thing about this series is the beef with Drake. And that's
he has made that extra interesting.
That's the only thing that's I'm tuning in to see what Drake's going to do, or what they're going to do towards Drake, like what they did last
night. They called him a bum ass last night.
So, I mean, that's the only thing interesting about this series.
And last night, Drake had on a hoodie that said, you know, where's Kevin, basically, with Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone on the back of his hoodie. Right? It was fantastic.
Did you see Macaulay Culkin tweeted it?
What did he say?
He just said, I can't remember. It was something like, nice sweatshirt or something, you know, DM me.
Yeah. I can't remember. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just really interesting stuff, man. Really interesting stuff. I think I wish people would tune in more. I'm more into these finals, Matt, than I've been in the last five years.
I 100% agree.
I'm into it because I don't know what's going to happen. And the atmosphere, the vibe of a new country, a new team, is really something. And you have the backdrop of, is Kawhi going to stay there? There is not a less readable person on planet Earth than that guy, who has no emotion, who shows no emotion. You're shocked that he's as good as basketball as he is, because you would think you have to have emotion to be that good. Part of what made Kobe Bryant so dominant was his emotion, was his cutthroat mentality. You know, Kawhi Leonard is a nice guy, is a caring guy. Okay, we are overdue for it. If you're on the line, we ask that you please hold. We will get to you on the flip side. Matt, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always do appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Coming up next, someone in the local media is really unhappy with the Clemson Tigers. I'll share that. Plus, we'll get to your calls on South Carolina at Williams-Brice next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. You're locked and loaded to ESPN Upstate.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate, episode number 89. Great to have you with us, Monday edition of the show. Lonzo and I, you are going to be on location. You and I are going to be on location Thursday and Friday this week at the BMW Charity Golf Classic, correct?
Yeah, I've never got to go to this, and I'm pretty excited about it, especially if we get Brett Favre. We probably won't, but if we do,
we're getting Brett Favre.
I actually have a Brett Favre story. Now, if I have enough guts to say it to Brett Favre, but when my son was born, the nurse and I were watching Green Bay, and my wife is like, "Hey, back here, it's time." And we were watching Green Bay play, and not paying attention to her, and she's never let me live that down. So
there you go. So we're gonna get Brett Favre. And Brett Favre will be on this radio station Thursday or Friday of this week. That's not a promise, but I'm willing myself for that to happen because he'll be at the golf tournament. Let's get to Bear, who's been hanging patiently. Bear, thanks for the call, bud. You're offsides.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Fantastic, man. Thanks for the call.
Hey, actually, that was me that texted the USC women flipping off players. That's absolute fact, by the way. I've been
really?
To several games in Columbia. And yes, that's. I can send you pictures. I mean, it's just – but anyway.
Well, please do. Please do. We need to see this in action here. Lonzo's asking for them directly.
Oh, I will.
He wants you to send them directly to his phone. His
Listen, there's a reason why. There's a reason.
Don't
do that. That's not funny. There's a reason why I've never seen it because I never wear orange to Williams-Brice. So, I mean, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. I never wear orange,
right.
Period.
I mean, these are players that they weren't taunting or anything like that. They simply just scored, ran into the end zone. There's still shots of them getting flipped off, but a lot of them are women. I'm like, really? But anyway, that ain't why I called. I changed my prediction on South Carolina season. I'm not saying this out of, you know, just trying to be funny. I'm saying they're going 3-9 this year because, Mark, there's four games that you talk about. Listen to me. There's four games you talk about. North Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee. They could lose all four of those games, and you're giving them those four games.
Okay,
take
so
those four games away. They could.
Sorry, Bear. I don't think any of those four games. I don't think any of those four games are gimmies in any stretch of the imagination. I don't.
I don't.
But I just happen to think South Carolina is a better team than each of those four. And I realize 8-4 for me is an outside the box prediction. I realize that most people are not predicting that. I realize that many are saying if they make a bowl game, it'll be an accomplishment this year. But I will say one thing. If I said to an unbiased college football fan who is not a fan of the Gamecocks, what do you find more offensive, my 8-4 prediction or Bears 3-9 prediction? I think everybody would say your 3-9 prediction, man. I mean, there's some hate involved there. I can feel it.
Yeah, well, it's not so much hate. I'm saying it could happen. It could. I mean, it really could go downhill, especially if they lose the North Carolina game. Start the season. I mean, it really could happen. And don't sleep on Appalachian State because Jake Bentley, he's already peaked. He's peaked. He's not going to get any better.
Because what 21-year-old's ever gotten better at the quarterback position? Come on, Bear. I'm starting to believe the women have flipped you off at Williams-Brice Stadium.
No, well, you know what I'm saying, though. You people talk about, well, they got Jake Bentley back. Okay, you got the same Jake Bentley that you've had for the last 3 years. It's not like he's going to get better. You got the same one. He had a great game against Clemson. You'll never see a game like that out of Jake Bentley again. Never. That was an anomaly. I mean, you know, kudos to him. I tip my cap to him. But you got a good quarterback at best. So, okay, it's very possible that 3-9 could happen. I'm telling you.
Okay, well, Bear, I appreciate the call. It's very possible that 3-9 will happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. The talent level on that team is that of a top 20 team in America. You know, look, they could lose one of those four games, North Carolina, Miami, Missouri, Kentucky, and I mean, they could lose in Tennessee. They could lose one of those four games. There's no doubt about it. Okay. There's probably a high likelihood that they will drop one of those four games. That's probably what the odds will say, but I think they make up for it elsewhere. They're a 7.5-point favorite over North Carolina. They only lose to North Carolina if they're as unready to play as they were in the Belk Bowl. And that's why I don't give South Carolina the continued bowl streak because they didn't show up for a bowl last year. I saw uniforms, but you can't tell me that South Carolina was actually there to participate in a bowl game. I won't buy it. But it's interesting, Lonzo. You know, I love the fact that our listeners are kind of creating serial content for us because they're chiming in on things we've said weeks ago, days ago. You know, this guy, my man Bear, is sitting contemplating my 8-4 prediction. He's like 8-4. 3-9. How do you like them apples, Mark Ryan? Love it.
I love Bear. He's awesome. I love our listeners. They are awesome. Whether I agree with you or not, we love you and we love your participation and keep it up.
Closer to 8-4 or 3-9, Lonzo?
Well, I predicted 7-5. So I guess it would be closer to your 8-4 or whatever that is.
I saw over the weekend one of the most dangerous articles I've ever seen in my life, and I'll explain the why to you of that next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be with you guys. Monday edition of the show. So I saw this, Lonzo, and I was beside myself at the irresponsibility of what's going on here. I really, really am. And so here's the article. They've released a study in Britain, okay, that shows that, you know, it shows the health or the lack thereof of coffee, right? And how coffee impacts your health. And there's been studies that say that coffee is really good for you, and other studies that show that it can be problematic, raise blood pressure, so on and so forth. So this study out of Britain, and there must be a coffee company behind this, that it states that coffee ingestion does not increase the risk of anything going on with your cardiovascular system, or does not increase the risk of cardiovascular event or a heart attack or heart disease or anything of that notion. And here's the catcher. Here's the clincher. It says that up to 25 cups of coffee a day. Okay? Now, I'm sorry. If I drink 25 cups of coffee a day, if I drink 5 cups of coffee, if I had had 5 cups of coffee prior to right now, Lonzo, today, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I would likely be in the urgent care or the ER with my heart pounding out of my chest. To have an article that says you can drink 25 or more cups of coffee a day and not expect to experience any increase in heart disease or any further heart issues is not only wrong, it's patently false and completely and totally irresponsible. I don't know how they get away with this, Lonzo. I get what they mean. What they mean is that you're not going to suffer structural defects. But if you pound 25 cups of coffee, I guarantee you, your heart's going to be doing things that aren't natural.
But, I think they throw a study out there because the average person is not going to drink anywhere near that. So they're saying the amount of coffee you drink, don't worry about it. It's not going to hurt you.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous. A 16-year-old kid drank 2 Monster Energies and a McDonald's coffee before noon the day of a final and died of a fatal arrhythmia, right? So you're going to down 25. I'm just telling you, man. I saw this, and at first I chuckled, and then I was just like, man, this is dangerous. This is really, really dangerous here. I don't know how they're getting away with that.
We don't have keywords.
Oh, no keywords.
It'll be back again.
Oh, here I am. I'm like, man, Lonzo, you played the wrong song here, buddy. You played the wrong song.
That's why there's nothing written on the sheet. That's why it's all. I thought we talked about it Friday, but I guess we didn't.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, I am going to test your honesty. All right, I need you to be open to having your honesty tested, because I'm going to test your honesty next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.